The Truth News Network.
Identity politics is poisoning the American well of freedom.
There is an antidote.
It's right here at TNN, Truth News Network. For today's chapter, here's Dan Newman.
Hello, folks. Today's chapter of Truth News is probably the most important chapter we have brought to you on the Truth News Network. Today's offering is titled The Other Kavanaugh Woman. Christine Blasey Ford has come forward to accuse Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct that dates to the 1980s when both of them were still in high school. Because the Supreme Court nomination is so politicized, some people are wondering about Christine Ford's politics. Is she a Democrat or is she a Republican? And what are her political leanings? We've got that information for you today. We've done some in-depth investigation and discovered that Ford graduated with an undergrad degree from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and went on to receive her master's in psychology from Pepperdine University. That's a great university located in Malibu, California, and her master's degree in education from Stanford. She also has a PhD in educational psychology from the University of Southern California. She teaches graduate students in clinical psychology, specializing in statistical models for research projects. She's also a visiting professor at Pepperdine, a professor at Stanford School of Medicine, and a research psychologist for Stanford's Department of Psychiatry. In other words, she is a very educated woman. She married her husband, Russell Ford, in 2002. He is a senior director at Zosano Pharma and also received a master's degree and PhD from Stanford. The couple has two sons. Years after the alleged sexual assault she stated was perpetrated by Kavanaugh, she began to show signs of symptoms and had increasing anxiety, she said. Before meeting her husband, she also struggled with relationships with men. She said this, "I think it derailed me substantially for 4 or 5 years. I was very ill-equipped to forge those kinds of relationships," she said. Well, let's look at her professional career and her politics. Ford is a registered Democrat, according to the Washington Post. In addition, the Mercury News reported that a friend of Ford says Ford attended a women's march protesting Donald Trump. Ford works as a professor at Palo Alto University and teaches in consortium with Stanford. She has written or helped with more than 50 journals, book chapters, and other articles. One study focused on trauma as a result of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. A 2017 article in the San Jose Mercury News says she was planning to attend a science march wearing a knitted brain hat that was supposed to resemble the pink vagina hats that many have used to protest Donald Trump and advocate for women's rights. Yes, folks, she is a women's right advocate. Ford has made contributions in the past to various Democrat candidates and causes, though very limited in amount. The federal campaign donation website lists these donations for Christine Blasey, which is how Ford is known professionally. Among them, in 2017, she made 3 donations, each for less than $30, 2 in 2014 for $35 and $3.50, 1 earmarked for the Democrat National Committee, 1 designated for Bernie Sanders. Ford's attorney, Deborah Katz, says Ford would testify in a public hearing. The Senate Judiciary Committee has set a hearing in which to hear Ford for Monday, September 24th, but as of this writing and this podcast, has not received confirmation from Ford or her attorney about appearing at that hearing. On September 16th, after the Washington Post published an article with Ford's first public description of the alleged incident, Senator Charles Grassley, Republican of Iowa, who chairs the Judiciary Committee, questioned how Democrat members handled the confidential letter from Katz detailing her side of the story, but also said he would gather more information. Just for a point of political perspective, Deborah Katz, Ford's attorney, is vice chair of the Project on Government Oversight an organization that has been directly funded by George Soros's Open Society Foundation. Katz is also a hefty Democratic donor, giving thousands of dollars over the years to Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and other leftist candidates. The accuser initially did not want to talk publicly about the allegations because she viewed Kavanaugh's nomination as extremely politicized, her word, and because she feared doing so would put herself and her family at risk, Katz, her attorney, said. To that end, since the Post article published, Ford has received hostile threats and recrimination. Her intent in sending the confidential letter to members of California's congressional delegation that started this whole thing, including judicial ranking Democrat Dianne Feinstein, was to provide information about Kavanaugh's character. Feinstein did not ask the nominee about the letter or its allegations during her 50 minutes of allotted time to question him during a confirmation hearing earlier this month, and she had also visited with him extensively one-on-one. The question did not come up in that meeting. But after the existence of the letter surfaced in media reports, then subsequent articles detailed the charges, that decision was taken from her, Katz told CNN. Christine Ford came forward on September 16, 2018 to the Washington Post and revealed that she was the anonymous woman who has accused Trump's Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sexual misconduct in high school, accusations that Kavanaugh has strenuously denied. Ford, age 51, says she instantly thought Kavanaugh might inadvertently kill her during a party in the early 1980s after he and a friend corralled her in a bedroom and the Supreme Court nominee pinned her to a bed and groped her over a one-piece bathing suit. Kavanaugh denies the allegation. She says another high school friend of Kavanaugh's named Mark Judge was in the room. Judge, a D.C.-based writer, previously told the Weekly Standard, before Christine Blasey Ford was named, that the account was patently false. Ford's Facebook page and LinkedIn page appear to have been deleted, although it's not clear when that happened. Ford's actions in revelation. In her letter, which was read to the Post, which I think was kind of curious, she didn't send the letter. The letter was read to the Post. Ford described the incident and said she expected her story to be kept confidential. She signed the letter, which later was sent, as Christine Blasey. And again, that's the name she uses professionally. Though Ford had contacted the Post, she declined to speak on the record for weeks as she grappled with concerns about what going public would mean for her and her family. And what she said was her duty as a citizen to tell the story. In 2012, while in couples therapy, she reportedly discussed a sexual incident that occurred when she was in high school. She released those notes to the Washington Post. The Post story said Ms. Ford told her therapist about the alleged incident during couples therapy with her husband in 2012. The therapist's notes do not mention Judge Kavanaugh by name, but say she was attacked by students, quote, from an elitist boys' school who went on to become highly respected and high-ranking members of society in Washington. There are some discrepancies in the therapist's notes in the interview with the Post, which Ms. Ford blamed on the therapist. She told the Post that she said nothing at the time, not even apparently to her girlfriends, because she didn't want her parents to know she had been at an underage drinking party. Conservative Ben Shapiro, after examining the therapy notes and hearing Ford's explanation of the incident, detailed what those differences are. Shapiro said, quote, Ford showed her therapist notes to the Washington Post. Those notes conflict with her account. The notes don't include names, instead stating that the alleged perpetrators were from an elitist boys' school and had since become highly respected and high-ranking members of society in Washington. The notes also state that four boys were involved, not two. She says her therapist got it wrong and that there were four boys at the party, but only two boys involved. Another therapy session the following year includes the charge that Ford underwent a rape attempt in her late teens, but she was allegedly 15, not late teens, when this incident allegedly occurred. Her husband, who was present for the first therapy session, said Kavanaugh's name was raised, but the Post account doesn't say that Kavanaugh was called the alleged perpetrator. We have some very important points to bring to you in a matter of moments. Let me just, before we go to break, tell you this. 65 senators met individually with Judge Kavanaugh during a nearly two-month period before the hearing began. Yet Senator Feinstein didn't share this with her colleagues ahead of many of these discussions. It raises a lot of questions about Democrats' tactics and motives to bring this to the rest of the committee's attention only now, rather than during these many steps along the way. Judiciary Committee Republicans said that in unison. That apparently won't be enough for Senator Feinstein. There's a lot of information we don't know, she said, and the FBI should have the time it needs to investigate this new material. Staff calls aren't the appropriate way to handle this, Senator Feinstein said to Bloomberg News. Even though the Senate Judiciary Committee has scheduled a meeting in which to hear from both Ford and Kavanaugh, Ford has not accepted an invitation to appear. In our summary below, we analyze that fact and what specifics are playing into this event and its expected outcome. We've got some very intense information to bring to you, and then our summary. Sit tight. Back right after this at the Truth News Network.
Subway Restaurant Storytime Theater proudly presents Jack and the Beanstalk.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell something delicious. Hey, little fella, what you got there?
Oh, this? It's the big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants.
That does look tasty.
It sure is. Climbing that beanstalk out there makes you hungry.
You mind if I have a bite?
Sure! I'll trade you for that goose over there with the golden eggs.
You got a deal!
Hungry for something big? Then pick up a big hot pastrami sub from Subway Restaurants. Layer upon layer of delicious hot pastrami stacked high and toasted to flavorful perfection on freshly baked bread. Topped with pickles, mustard, and melted Swiss cheese, it's the perfect way to satisfy any giant-sized appetite. Big Hot Pastrami, available at participating restaurants for a limited time only. See restaurants for details. Subway, eat fresh.
Clarity of thought, clarity of vision, clarity of message.
Real truth, real news. TNN, the Truth News Network.
Again, Dan Newman.
So let me ask you this question, folks, as we get into the second half of today's show. What is this all really about? Is it really about wrongdoing of men who sexually assault women? Or is it about a conservative Supreme Court justice nominee and Democrats fighting to defeat his confirmation just as they fought the nomination of Supreme Court Clarence Thomas, justice, in 1991? Think back with me for a moment. November 20th, 2017, we published a narrative titled, Men Will Be Men. If you're listening and not reading this story, write that date down, November 20th, 2017. Follow that link when you get a chance. It details exactly what we face today, that story does, with not just the accusations against Judge Kavanaugh, but the environment that fosters these sexual abuse problems and the problems they initiate. In it, we stated this. It appears that in Washington, D.C., a culture of sexual harassment has been thriving in the highly charged atmosphere in which some of the most powerful people in the world live and work. We now have learned that for some time, the House of Representatives, Congress folks, has maintained a sexual harassment slush fund comprised of taxpayer dollars. It is used specifically to pay off interns, pages, and some junior staff members who have been sexually abused or harassed by their bosses and or other House members and some senior staffers. We do not yet have any of the details of the fund, the dollar amounts, who has used it, or how it has been specifically used. But media calls for those details are ringing out. Do not be surprised for a Freedom of Information Act court order to obtain the House release of that information. Obviously, members of Congress probably are not going to take the lead on stopping the longstanding practices involving sexual impropriety and abuses among their ranks. The story goes on, but before I read the rest of it to you, let me just say this. That was a November 20th, 2017 story calls went out for the release of all that information about the slush fund. Here it is, September, almost a year later. Nothing has been released. Here's the 900-pound gorilla in this room. The story continues. Who's that 900-pound gorilla? Lady Liberty. The problem is, the number one thing that makes America the greatest nation in human history is the fact that the government does not impose its thoughts, ideas, rights, and wrongs on U.S. citizens. Our Bible is the U.S. Constitution. While the landmark separation of how government treats its citizens in right and wrong disputes, at least in criminal cases, is innocent until proven guilty. We each have the presumption of innocence. No, that legally does not apply to civil matters, but its reality reaches far into Americans' discernment of rights and wrongs. The dilemma is this: how can an absolute answer be found in most of these cases when evidence that can prove or disprove sexual harassment and abuse allegations that have been buried sometimes for decades? Should we, in the cases of these most often hidden transgressions, decide based on a default position of guilt, or should the accused be innocent until proven guilty? And who would make that determination? Lady Liberty, long the symbol of American fairness in such determinations, wears a blindfold while holding that scale of justice. When, if ever, is it right for someone, anyone, to, with a finger, change the balance between guilt and innocence? Think that through. Is that not exactly what's going on today? There are two travesties being committed in this circus, the Kavanaugh confirmation circus, as we labeled it in yesterday's story. One is that this is an attack on the due process of the determination of guilt and innocence in the U.S. No, these allegations are probably not regarding criminal activity. If not criminal, they would certainly be civil in nature. But in either case, those charged with wrongdoing in the U.S. have always had the commitment from the American people to be innocent until proven guilty. Once again, in the world of American politics, leftists are endeavoring to take away that right and determine guilt by allegations, no facts, and no evidence. Do you know what's really going on here? Listen closely. Chuck Schumer, Dianne Feinstein, and other Senate Democrats have joined forces with their House counterparts, Nancy Pelosi, Maxine Waters, and others, to do anything and everything they can to not just prevent Brett Kavanaugh from becoming the next Supreme Court justice. They are doing everything they can to change the outcome of the 2016 presidential election. We've seen it again and again since. Democrats were devastated with the election results. Every Democrat, from DNC leadership to rank-and-file Democrats, just knew the White House would be home to Hillary and Bill for another 8 years. And they don't lay that loss at the feet of the American voters, who are the ones who thwarted their dreams of another near decade of liberal euphoria. They lay that loss at the feet of members of the Republican Party and House and Senate leadership. What we are witnessing is the all-out move of the left to summarily and steadily undo the constitutional method of choosing those who govern us here in the United States. Don't think for a moment Hillary's comments about Trump supporters coming from her basket of deplorables is her solo opinion of conservative Americans. We see again and again and again leftists are thumbing their noses at the concept of a representative republic. Even the Electoral College, the free market system, capitalism, and liberty and justice for all. Leftists are today more than ever committed to socialism. Yep, even though it has never succeeded in any country on earth. I'll finish this with this example of what I state in the above paragraphs. And this is going on right now. You remember the name Deborah Katz? That's Ford's attorney who is known as a leading legal advocate for those women who allege sexual attacks from others. Deborah Katz made it clear on Tuesday that her client has, quote, no obligation to appear before the Senate Judiciary Committee or any others. Why? In her words, my client has no responsibility to prove that what she is saying is true. It is incumbent on Brett Kavanaugh and Republicans to prove that she is not telling the truth. Think about that for a moment. Imagine for a moment what that world would look like. There would never be any need for anyone to run for political office. Why? No matter how committed or how qualified a candidate would be, if the politically elite were in charge of who might be unqualified based simply on alleged wrongdoing, those elitists would decide who governs in the United States in every position. Our forefathers traveled halfway around the world to escape such a system. European countries were each run in that same manner. A ruling class unilaterally determined what was right, what was wrong, who was eligible to be in their class, and who was not eligible. It was a reprehensible life for most. America gave those early settlers a chance at a new life, one that offered justice for all and also equal opportunity. This Kavanaugh confirmation circus is evidence that the politically elitist on the left want to take the United States back to that place in world history. Don't doubt it, folks. It's a fact. They want it, and we are on the brink of seeing it happen. The question is simply this. Will Americans stand by idly and let it happen? Well, that concludes today's chapter of the Kavanaugh Circus. I promise you, there's more to come, so stay close. Thank you for joining us today and every day. You'll be back tomorrow at the Truth News Network. So long, everybody.
Undeniably the go-to source for nonpartisan, spin-free news from the world.
TNN,
the Truth News Network.
TruthNewsNet.org.